Welcome to the AWS Tech Chat podcast,
where experts within the cloud community share their diverse experiences.
Let's learn and innovate together.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cheryl Joseph, and this is episode 91 of the AWS Tech Chat podcast. And for today's show, I'm joined by my co-host, Carl Hart, to talk about sports on AWS. And as for me, I'm a senior solutions architect based in New Jersey, and I've been at AWS for a little over 3 years now. And I primarily work with customers in the Philadelphia area. I've also been a sports SA previously covering the NHL. And as for my sports interests, I grew up enjoying cricket. And for you Eagles fans, I'm also an Eagles fan. I'm really excited to get started. So Carl, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl. As mentioned, I'm Carl Hart. I'm a principal solutions architect out of New York City, focused on our sports vertical. I've been with AWS for a little over 9 years now. And honestly, I'm a fan of pretty much every sport out there, but I'd say my favorites are probably American football and basketball. But in the last few years, I've really branched out and gotten into English Premier League and F1 after that really good Netflix documentary.
Very nice. Awesome. Listeners, I'm sure you'll agree with me that there's always a season for some type of a sport. And in those seasons, AWS is enabling sports leagues and teams to elevate fan experiences and really achieve insights that were not possible previously. However, before we get into the details, Carl, can you tell us about the challenges that sports customers face?
In my conversation with sports fans, I would say that their concerns fall really along five different scenarios. So number one is probably building fan engagement platforms. Two would be improving their in-stadium experience for fans. Three is around implementing and modernizing broadcast and streaming workloads. Four is just around gathering and maintaining statistics and analytics and how that can help with player health. And then finally, IT modernization.
So let's go in order then. What is fan engagement?
So our sports customers are always looking at ways that they can more meaningfully engage with their fans. But while there's new focus in sports to understand their fans better, the concepts and tools to fully understand your customer have been in the marketing and advertising space for quite some time. You may have even heard the industry term customer 360. That basically refers to a 360-degree view of a customer's interaction with your brand.
So it seems to me that you're building a data lake around fan interactions with your sport or your team, isn't it?
I would say that's exactly right.
Okay, so you have, but once they have that data, help me to understand how are they getting value out of that data?
So it might be useful here to walk through some of the data flow to illustrate how our customers are deriving value. So let's start with data. In S3, you'll generally have a bucket or a number of buckets that are going to be ingesting data from either external sources or your first-party properties like websites and apps, like apps and things like that. So, you know, this could be any number of things as far as, you know, fans clicking around your website, you know, using one of their streaming applications from an app. Usually with permission, they'll also work with their partners to pull things like sales data from, let's say, like Ticketmaster or like an e-commerce website like Fanatics. You can also ingest things like social media activity and sometimes even like demographics data to really get a good idea of who your fan is.
All right. So you have this data that's aggregated in your data lake. What do we do next?
So from all those different data sources, it's important then to run like a matching job and probably key in on unique fields like email or phone number, since you're likely to use that type of information across multiple platforms. You can also further enrich this profile data by ingesting information, like I mentioned above, like purchase history or even fan activity from individual teams. Even though at the league level, you know, a lot of them are working on these fan engagement platforms, the individual teams for years generally have some idea of who their fan base is. So once they're able to match your data across, you know, multiple data sets that were brought in, the league or the team is now able to have a high amount of confidence that you are who you say you are. That the Cheryl that's logging in and clicking around their website is the same Eagles fan that just went to a game last week.
All right. So once you've aggregated the data and built these customer profiles, how does that turn into more engagement or even more utility in the sports world?
So at its core, fan engagement is about fostering an emotional connection between teams and fans. And so probably one of the most obvious use cases is just around loyalty programs, being able to reward their most avid fans out there. But once you have a fair idea of who the fan is and what their preferences are, you can begin to deliver personalized content and sometimes even live experiences that's relevant and timely. So by understanding your fans better, you can treat them more as valuable guests and not just consumers of tickets and merchandise. And this can also lead to a better experience, even in venue.
So can this fan engagement platform extend to a live experience?
Yes. And there's a lot of really cool things that happen once you integrate like a fan engagement platform data set with those in-stadium experiences.
All right. So help me understand, Carl. If I'm a season ticket holder and I show up at the stadium, how is AWS enabling sports teams to keep fans like me happy?
Yeah. So you would probably be combining data from two different platforms. So the fan engagement platform, as we mentioned, knows who you are. So that handles sort of our identity portion of the problem. So imagine that you've signed into your favorite team app, you've shown up to the stadium day of, and because you've also enabled GPS, so it knows your location, it knows when you arrive, and you just get an alert on your phone. When you look down, you can see that the app has notified you that you're standing at gate 3, but there's currently very little traffic at, let's say, gate 7. So you're able to enter the arena quickly and efficiently. And then once you're inside and you're walking around, you get another alert from the app, which brings up a map and shows you the quickest path to your seats. Because again, it already knows who you are and where your season ticket seats are at. But it could also do cool things like letting you know which bathroom lines are currently the shortest, or maybe doing some one-click ordering to get your favorite beer or hot dog, and even have that waiting at your seat once you arrive. And so all of that is based on real-time data that's able to be pulled from various sensors or video feeds from an arena. So in this example, your identity from the fan engagement platform is able to provide preferences, and a second data platform, sort of think of that as a stadium lake, is able to provide information around logistics, wayfinding, and stadium operations.
And for the second data platform, you're ingesting video data to know where the lines are. So you could have sales data to know when to send more beer or hot dogs to a specific vendor, or maybe even have sensors on doors to sensitive areas for security, isn't it?
That's right. And so once all of that data is ingested, you can start to do cool things like send out alerts or notifications based on those inputs from the stadium itself. So we've found that our sports customers are always looking at ways that they can reduce, you know, fans waiting in lines, simplifying the concessions process, improving fan safety and security. And we've even seen that there's certain sensors that are being implemented that can help improve sustainability, things like water usage. So as long as there's sensors and video data and all of that information can be uploaded to the cloud, there's a lot of cool new experiences and integrations you can do. And a lot of our customers are interested in this space.
You know, that really gets me thinking that you can think really of a stadium like a data lake. So you have all this information, all this data that's coming in from sensors, from fan behavior, video, or even something like you just said, a sustainability impact. And then this data is then centralized in a single location. And now you can get insights into that data using analytics and make predictions using machine learning and even create reports for administrative purposes. Does that sound right?
That's exactly right. And the way that AWS has been so successful in building these data lakes and analytics platforms for non-sports customers, that means we've got a lot of best practices to carry over in the space to ease the onboarding of a platform like that.
So these are really cool use cases. How about streaming?
So a lot of very popular streaming platforms are already running on AWS, including our very own Amazon Prime Video. But over the years, we've gained the ability to do more than just streaming as far as just getting video from point A to point Z. And with our acquisition of Elemental and the suite of services that are now running in AWS, we're able to handle things like full live broadcast, production in the cloud, media supply chains, and all of the partners that have built on top of our platform that fit in this space. So basically, anything you used to be able to do in studio, you can now do in the cloud and distribute that video globally. And now that I think about it, one customer that's really been innovating in this broadcast space is the PGA. In their effort to sort of modernize their live production, they've been able to add some really cool features and functionality through their app.
So something tells me that there's more complexity here than meets the eye.
You're right. And it's complexity specific to golf. They actually are a pretty unique challenge from a broadcasting perspective. So during any given tournament or a weekend with a tournament, you've got roughly 18 holes and anywhere between like 130 to 160 players that are participating. Each of those holes you can think of as a separate venue that needs multiple cameras for coverage. And juggling between each player and hole meant that during a regular golf broadcast, viewers would only see about 10% of the golf shots over four rounds of play. And if you happen to be a golfer, if you happen to be a fan of a golfer that wasn't performing well, you may not even see them at all.
So I haven't watched a lot of golf, but the few times that I've turned on my TV in the past, it seems that it was always Tiger Woods on TV.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Tiger's been the most popular golfer since he came on to the scene. And so again, you probably never really had an issue seeing him during a golf telecast. But if you happen to be a fan of pretty much any other golfer when Tiger was popular, it could be hard to get much screen time for that particular player. So for example, at the 2021 Players Championship, PGA debuted a brand new service within their app called Every Shot Live. And for the first time, golf fans could watch all 154 players in the field play all 18 holes live.
So really, we're talking 18 different events that are running at the same time. So you most certainly will need to have the necessary infrastructure to enable these events. I'm sure our listeners are eager to know what the AWS side of that infrastructure looks like.
So as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of technical complexity that goes into throwing an event of that size. But for simplicity's sake, we can sort of break it down into three major steps. First, we need to get that video from the venue to the cloud. And this was done with an actual physical device called Elemental Live, which is able to ingest the video from the individual cameras and send that up to the cloud. Next, we encode that video into various formats. So imagine, you know, it's probably a different size video for a full 4K video feed you'd be watching on your TV versus something you'd be watching on your phone. And that encoding service is called Elemental Media Live. Finally, we have a service that's called Elemental Media Store, which takes that data from Media Live and writes bite-sized video segments to storage that can easily be distributed through our content delivery network, which is called CloudFront.
So can these services be used, for example, to broadcast a local high school football game?
Absolutely. Using the full suite of Elemental services might be a little overkill for just a high school game, but we've even got managed services in this space, like Amazon Interactive Video Service, that makes it very easy to do sort of smaller scale broadcasts. And actually, Amazon IVS, as we call it, is actually based on the same technology that powers Twitch.
Thanks for that, Carl. The most exciting event, however, I think is the actual game. And I know that statistics and analytics play a huge part here, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sports doesn't exist without great players and great performances. Statistics and analytics are a large part of the conversation around sports in general, but really they help tell the story of the game as well as the history of the league when you look at how, you know, performances have changed over time. So it's a huge focus for every major league that I talk to on tracking and storing that historical data accurately and quickly. And again, those stats are a huge part of the conversation around any sport.
And I believe that can be an interesting conversation around a dinner table or even at family gatherings.
Yeah, I've definitely been on the receiving end of a lot of those arguments. but it's not just around the dinner table. Honestly, there are, you know, whole morning TV shows, radio segments, podcasts, and even some very large TV networks that are dedicated to exactly that conversation. So often statistics and analytics are also a great way to address the challenge of reducing injury. So teams are focused on bringing in the best athletes that they can afford and getting the best performance that they can get out of them. And they're always looking for an innovative way to do scouting and player development so that they can gain an edge over their competitors.
So you were talking about stats and analytics, and I've seen the AWS and the NFL commercials on TV about next-gen stats.
That's right. A few years ago, NFL partnered with AWS to build a next-generation platform to ingest and expose all of those NFL stats to its partners. So for instance, if you are in a fantasy football league and you're staring at your phone during games looking for those live updates about who's doing what, those live updates are most likely coming from next-gen stats. But essentially, we're able to ingest sensor data from player equipment like RFID tags in the shoulder pads as well as the football. And that sensor data is combined with computer vision from video to get accurate statistics in real time. And then next-gen stats can also take those historical statistics, run machine learning models on them, and create brand new stats, which will provide even more in-depth insight into player performance.
So to our listeners, the next time you watch the NFL game and you see those stats, you'll know as to really what's happening behind the scenes to generate those stats. So, Carl, how are we using stats and analytics to affect player health?
So for health and privacy reasons, you generally need to build two different platforms, and especially when you're looking at player health, because you're generally going to fall under some sort of regulatory frameworks. But by ingesting and analyzing video of any sort of player issues over the last few years and leveraging machine learning services, the NFL and AWS were able to build, as a part of their player health and safety initiative, what we call the digital athlete. Digital athlete is a virtual representation of an NFL player that can be used to predict and prevent player injury. For instance, you could simulate, you know, different types of collisions, different types of body positions, and we've gotten to the point where we can make very accurate predictions on injuries based on this digital data. So you can imagine that taking this type of technology, you know, you could have a similar example for something like baseball. So imagine being able to analyze, for instance, like pitcher throwing motions or a batter's batting form to help identify when, you know, maybe your elbow may be at the wrong position, which may lead to injury. So all of this will help reduce injury and, in a best case scenario, even help improve performance.
Wow, that makes sense. I never thought of that. So basically, it sounds like any sport could use this technology. And I can even imagine analyzing, for example, a golfer's swing or kicking in soccer or even the form of a tennis player. Unfortunately, it looks like we're running short on time. So I think I'd like to jump to your last topic. You mentioned IT transformation. So when I think of IT transformation, I think of migrating legacy applications from a data center to the cloud, or even modernizing your existing applications using containers or serverless. Is it any different for sports customers?
It's not. And when you consider the age of a lot of the very popular leagues around the world, you can think of them as, you know, enterprise customers. And if you've had to work with enterprise customers, you understand that in some cases, they may have applications or services or things like that, that can be in some cases decades old. So the same type of modernization activities as far as migrating them from the data center to the cloud, and maybe even re-architecting those applications to really take advantage of the cloud's ability to scale and sort of meet demand of the millions of customers who are interested in your product a week, it's exactly the same. So around IT modernization, you're right. We see the same things as far as migrating out of data centers, moving to containerized or serverless architectures, and heavily leveraging AI/ML.
All right, awesome. We're talking sports here, and I'm hearing Gen AI all over the place. Can you tell me how Gen AI will elevate the existing sports experience?
So You're right. Gen AI is a huge topic of focus for us here at AWS. And I think we've got a lot of really cool ideas in the space about how we could innovate with our sports customers. But the reality is that a lot of sports customers are pretty nervous right now about jumping into Gen AI, especially sort of the popularized use cases that we've seen around like chatbots and image generation. So from their point of view, they're sitting on very valuable proprietary data sets. And, you know, there's still an impression out there that building Gen AI tools can potentially, you know, expose that valuable data to the internet, can be used to train other popular models without the permission of the rights holder. Also, you know, when we're talking about these huge leagues, their brands are so popular that if they went ahead and rushed out the release of some product, and, you know, news stories started coming out about inappropriate responses or hallucinations coming out of those tools, it could really damage the reputation of that league.
Yeah, and that sounds like a similar concern to a lot of the customers that I'm working with.
You're right. So a lot of the initial use cases that we're working on are usually around building, at first, internal tools that, for instance, the creative teams, the sales teams, and marketing teams can leverage. So just for a second, imagine you're a major league and you've got, let's say, like a popular player retiring, or maybe they're about to break an important record.
Like Tom Brady in the NFL?
That's a great use case. So while it's fairly easy to look up his stats and put together like a compelling package, you generally, you know, need more than just stats. Getting video of career highlights, maybe getting clips of his press conferences, or interviews with his coaches or teammates. That can really add a lot of depth and make one of those presentations much more compelling. So imagine integrating all of those stats and things like that into a chatbot, which can be trained on all of the information and especially proprietary information that that league has available. Maybe they even begin to ingest data from, you know, media articles, local sports writers, transcriptions from press conferences and interviews. And then tie all that to a media asset management platform where they've got video of that player doing what they do best.
That sounds like a lot. And I'm assuming a manual process to do all of this would be very time consuming.
Yeah. And in some cases, for even the best teams, it can take days to, one, collect all that information and cut it into a package that's ready for prime time. But I think by using generative AI, those creative teams could greatly reduce the time it takes to put together those highlight reels. And I can imagine even a future iteration of it that could run that entire process automatically by gathering those video clips, including those stats, and then maybe even license the voice of their favorite celebrity through Gen AI voiceover.
Oh, that's impressive. So how is AWS able to alleviate concerns that this proprietary data can be potentially exposed or even used to train existing models?
Within our Gen AI service, Amazon Bedrock, we allow our customers to select from a few different foundation models developed by AWS or some third-party partners. But on the back end, once you select a model, we make a separate copy of that base foundation model and train this private copy of the model with your data from your AWS account. Because of this process, no customer data is used to train the original base foundation model.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl, for clarifying that. And I'd love to get into more details here, but I think we're at time. So let's close out the show. In this episode, we spoke about how AWS is enabling sports leagues and teams to elevate their sports experience and the approaches that we've taken to address these needs. And again, these approaches are not just limited to sports, but can be used across other industry segments as well. And Carl, thank you. Thank you for joining the show. And listeners, if you want to dive deeper into any of the topics we spoke about today in a follow-up show, drop us a line and please share any comments or suggestions for future episodes.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. It was an absolute pleasure being on the show today. Thanks for having me.